Hey, welcome in. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time it might be when you eventually watch or listen to this. Gabe DeArmond here with PowerMizzou.com. We are with you every week on State of the Tigers, brought to you by James Carlton State Farm Insurance. Our friend James Carlton over in Webster Groves wants to take care of your insurance needs. CarltonInsurance.net. You can reach him by phone at 314-961-4800. James, also a huge Mizzou fan, like all of you guys listening, wants to talk to you a little bit about Mizzou's name, image, and likeness efforts, see if maybe he can find a way to help out with that while he's getting you the best deal possible on your insurance. So encourage you to get in touch with James, and while you're here, hit the like button, subscribe, do all the things that everybody asks you to do on all the podcasts and live shows that you check out this week. Normally we do it with our staff and talk a little Mizzou sports. This week, a special guest, we're going to pop him on the screen right now. The newest member of the Mizzou men's basketball program, Jacob Cruz, is joining us. Jacob, first off, man, appreciate you taking a few minutes, and how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I just got back from an ultrasound with my wife this morning, so I got to see my baby boy that's 20 weeks right now and see his growth. So, you know, I'm ecstatic.
So you are not going to have a busy summer at all, man. You're moving. You're going to have a new kid. You got some things going on.
Hey, I love it. Everything's flying by. You know, hopefully everything slows down when I get to Mizzou, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, seeing my child and everything in August and, you know, summer basketball, you know, I want to enjoy it. So hopefully it slows down there, but I'm fine with it going fast until then.
There you go. So right now, I'm assuming you are still at Tennessee Martin finishing up classes, and then you'll come to Columbia in June. Is that right?
Actually, I will be in Columbia in May, so I'm finishing up my classes here, and then I'll be doing a undergrad over there in Mizzou, so I'm a little bit different with my situation, so I'll be staying over there here shortly, so I'll go home for about 2 weeks here in about a week and a half, and then I'll be getting ready to get the rest of my stuff here at Martin and get ready for Columbia.
Okay, good deal. I kind of just want to let Mizzou fans get to know you a little bit better. We'll go back kind of through your story, through college basketball and all that. But I know everybody that's going to listen to this, the first thing they want to know is, why'd you enter the transfer portal, and why was Mizzou the place that you ended up?
So for me, it was always a dream to be, you know, high major. And, you know, as you can tell, my story didn't start there. And I was recruited very well in high school and everything like that. So, you know, that was something that was a dream, and I didn't make that decision out of high school. So, you know, entering the portal, you know, it was one of those things that was a mutual agreement. It wasn't like it was something that was just done, like, you know, without consideration. My coach ended up moving on anyway. He got a new job as a head coach at Mercer. So, pretty much everybody kind of leveled up. And, you know, there was talks around it. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't already talks about, hey, like, this kid's going to go. He's going to go make some money. He's going to go play this game for a long time. So he's probably going to have to go high major to make dreams like that happen. So it was already kind of, you know, seen coming. And for Mizzou, everybody's big talk about it wasn't even the fact that it was Missouri. It was just the fact of how quick I picked a school. And well, my coach entering and leaving and accepting a new job put me in sooner. So a lot of people didn't understand that either. They didn't see the other side of it. So they, you know, they all had their speculations and their stories and their twists on it. But at the end of the day, I was already being recruited before the official day as my coach left. So they were the first team, and it was all of them. It was a whole staff. So it wasn't like you just got one person, you got the whole staff, and the love that they showed to my wife and to my unborn child. So like, it was just their dedication and their drive. You're talking like text message, call, like it was just, it through the whole hectic process, they were standing out and just beating out schools. Now there was some schools that were awesome as well, but none that stood close to Mizzou and what they were bringing to the table as far as it goes is true passion and drive for what I was seeing myself in as system wise, but as growth as a man as well, because I am going to be taking other steps in my life that aren't just basketball related. So, you know, I needed help upon that. And one thing about me is I'm a big family oriented guy. I have a small knit family as myself. So does my wife. So for me, I'm a little more mature than most others, and they understood that, and they loved what my mindset was, and I loved what their mindset was. And both decisions I made to go JUCO and then come to UT Martin were all made quick. I committed to UT Martin a year before their season even started. I was already committed before their last season. And then JUCO, I committed in 10 minutes on a phone call. So I didn't even come to see them watch the play. I had no clue about where I was going. Didn't know what their funds were. I didn't know what their program was like. Didn't care, because I knew the coach on both times, and I knew what he was about and what he said, and I trusted him. And so far, I leveled up, and I've done great since. So, you know, I'm 2 for 2. Now I'm 3 for 3.
You mentioned your story didn't obviously go straight high major out of high school. So I want to go back there, because I looked up your high school career before we did this interview, and you got to make me understand why you were not a high major player. You averaged a double-double as a freshman, then averaged a double-double all 4 years, 2,500 career points in high school. Why do you think at that time your recruiting story wasn't maybe what it is now?
So for me, I didn't put all my stuff out public. And a lot of people don't know, I was a 3-star on ESPN. So, and I did a couple of things. I went viral on a couple of things. And I played with Scotty Barnes, well-known, all-star, NBA. We played on the same team. We were on the Adidas circuit. So I was around all these coaches. I was being seen by the Clemsons and the Kentuckys and everything like that. But as far as, you know, offers and everything, I just kept it all to myself. You know, I didn't get out public. I wasn't huge on social media. I didn't even really have a phone until 10th grade anyway, you know. Yeah. So, and the only reason why I got a phone is because my grandparents understood, hey, like, basketball's getting serious. Coaches are trying to get a hold of them. So, like, and some of the coaches, you know, if they ever see it, they're going to be like, yeah, I remember I was trying to get a hold of him, and he had phone service one time and then had no service the next, because it was just, you know, it was hard for my family to pay a bill and already having a phone. So it was just like, if I had internet access, I could get back to him on some app that you could text off of and have a fake number. So it was so hard to talk to these coaches and everything. So I feel like that stunted it a little bit, because they were trying to get on me early. Like most programs that are high major, they try to get on you your 9th through 10th grade year. And that's where I was making huge progress. So as far as it being recruited, they stayed along, but I chose North Florida because I thought I made the right decision with, as far as, you know, playing and opportunity. And, you know, one thing about me, I don't regret where I went at North Florida. Great people. I still talk to Coach Driscoll till this day. He's awesome. Love him. Proud of what he did with the program this year too. But as far as high major, like, I just thought that was the better system for me at the time. I had, like I said, I had opportunities. Like I had opportunities, and some of the coaches I know till this day.
So you mentioned JUCO. After a couple years in North Florida, you did spend a year in junior college. So that's not a path that a lot of guys take. Why was that right for you to go what a lot of people would view as go down a level for a year?
I wanted a refresh button. I had a lot happen that year. I lost my mother. That was hard coping with that. My grandfather had triple bypass heart surgery, knee surgery. And that's who I live with. That's who I live with most of my life. So seeing somebody like that go down and you're not sure what's going to happen. I kind of wanted to stay close. Not to say that I didn't mind going somewhere else. It was just, I'd rather have been close, and I wanted a refresh button to where I could just restart again and have multiple options rather than just having people base that year that I had, those stats that I had. Cause if you go look at them, they weren't great. They weren't good.
Right.
So, you know, nobody really wants to take a chance on a kid like that. And be like, oh, we'll give you an opportunity, cause we think you can shine after doing 3 points a game. Like, nobody's going to do that. And, you know, people get it twisted. So I knew what I was capable of doing then. I could have done better than that for sure in my eyes. But, you know, at the end of the day, I made the decision to just hit a refresh button, get a restart, start fresh. Knew the guy. He recruited me throughout high school as well. He had a head coaching job at a JUCO. I heard great things about it, as far as, you know, after I already said, hey, I'm going. And I was just like, all right, now I got to ask around. Like, you know, I did a kind of total opposite, committed, then asked around instead of asking around, then committing. So, but with Coach Joey and what he's done, I mean, you can go look at the program now. He's done a phenomenal job, and he's easily going to be a head coach at the next level for sure. He's definitely that caliber guy, and the guy he brought with him and the staff too. Just the culture it brought to me. So, you know, seeing that and seeing how that build, I knew it was going to transform me to be ready even more than what I felt personally. I knew I was going to be ready, especially as a man too, because I had a lot to mature after, you know, going through all that. My mindset wasn't prepared for a lot of those, you know, hard times as a young adult.
Then you go, end up after JUCO, going to UT Martin, start every game, 19 points, 8 rebounds. So I got to ask you, are you a better basketball player now than you were 3 years ago, or is that the player you've always been, just everything kind of clicked into place finally?
I can say I got better as an efficiency standpoint. Wise, as far as being able to do what I did, I say I could have done what I, maybe not as high, maybe, you know, cut points, cut rebounds, but as far as impact, I feel like impact in the game, that drive, that hustle and rebounds and everything, that just comes with heart. Now, the scoring depends on your situation, and I always feel like I could score with the best of them. It just all depended on, you know, was I in the game for 30 minutes or was I in the game for 10 minutes and just being in the corner or something like that. See, I was so involved here at UT Martin. Like, you had no choice but to get buckets. Like, it was like, hey, like, you have to go out there and get buckets. It wasn't, hey, we're going to throw you out there, just be a dude. Like, go around, you know, set a screen here, pop, maybe make a three. It was, hey, this is what we need from you. Like, you need to be this guy. And I was like, no problem. Like, I love it. Like, I love it. Like, thank you. That's what I want. That is what I want. That's what I need. So I was like, it was a no brainer for me. And, you know, and the coaching staff was amazing. And, you know, matter of fact, shout out to Coach Mackey, Nashawn Mackey. He was at Daytona State with me as an assistant coach, man. Without him, that 19-8 at that efficiency wouldn't have happened. Like, he, incredible player development, underrated. I can't wait to see what his career does. He's amazing dude, family guy as well. So, you know, we were in the gym a day after we lost in the tournament. It was one day off, and that was it, and we were back at it. So shout out to him.
So everybody has opinions on the transfer portal and what's going on with college sports right now. The truth is 98% of us, we're just sitting on the outside. We have no idea what it's like. What is that week or 2 weeks, whatever it was, that you were in the portal? What is that like to be that guy that's going through it?
It is so crazy, because not only are you hearing from coaches, once your recruitment gets out there, you're hearing from every fan base there is. Please come here. Please come here. And you catch a lot of backlash too. Oh, man, he's not good enough. He's not this. He's not that. Oh, he would just be a bust. So you got to take everything with a, you know, a grain of salt and focus on the real product that you're trying to bring and do for yourself. Because if you don't, like, if you're immature, you'll feed into all that and you'll worry about all that and you'll get used to the hype and you like it. Cause, you know, my followers gained like crazy, my comments, my likes and everything like that. It was crazy. I was like, what in the world is my phone was just constantly going off. And I was just like, man, I can see why these kids get stuck in this whirlwind of like social media. So for me, I think it's a lot crazier than a lot of people on the outside think of. I don't think they understand how much kids have to go through, because at the end of the day, we all just kids. We're not in the adult life yet. We're just college students. You know, we're just, because we're athletes and we're on national TV or whatever, doesn't make it like we're the NBA players, we're the grown men making, you know, money and whatever. But like, this is totally different. Like, you know, there's a lot of pressure on us making this decision, because a lot of people, like me, we go home and we sleep on the couch. We don't have a you know, a big family, a big house and all that, a lot of us, because we're athletes. Like, this is our way out. This is how we're trying to make it to the next level. So, you know, I think a lot of people need to kind of just ease up on a lot of the guys, because it is a lot of pressure, you know, and I don't think other people understand that. Because for me, my biggest thing is a lot of people want to have their views You know, they want to have views on social media. They want to get the views up, hating on a kid, seeing a kid fall. Oh, I called it. I called his downfall. And, you know, that's the biggest thing for me as a person that was just in that for that length of time and how fast it happened. People are always waiting to see you fall. And I think that's the worst thing about it. But as far as coaches and everything, man, I pray for anybody that makes a decision. You better have some help. But at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. And not just like, I didn't keep my family in the loop that much. I just told them, hey, these are schools. But as far as it came down, my wife, myself, and my agent, it was just us. That decision became us. Because at the end of the day, like, you can't have too many voices or you're going to make the wrong decision. So,
see, you spent a week wanting to go back to that 14-year-old that didn't have a phone.
Man, it was crazy too. Because you like, it was funny because coaches knew it too.
Yeah.
You'd be on a call, it's ringing, you're like, oh man, I got to get back to him. You got to get back to him. So you're like on a phone call, then you're like, man, I need like 6 phones right now. Like, goodness gracious. Because, you know, it was just nonstop that whole time. And it really was from morning all the way up to night. So it was just crazy. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I loved it. And I embraced it because I worked so hard for it. So I definitely didn't take it for granted. And I was grateful for every coach that called because it was a dream come true from a kid from a small town dreaming about doing it, and now it's happening.
The other thing, and I want to be clear before I ask you about this, that nobody is asking you how much money you make or anything like that. That's not part of this, but how much a part of conversations in this process is NIL? Like, how big a deal is that when you're going through this process?
Now, so I can definitely say it is the majority of a lot of coaches don't even know. So it's funny because a lot of people, their thing is, oh, he got paid so-and-so. He got paid this. He got paid that. And it's funny. You just sit there and you laugh at them because coaches don't know. Like, they really don't. They it's funny. I was being asked, what are other coaches saying or what are other places saying? Like, what numbers are they throwing at you? And they're just trying to see what's out there. They don't even know. So it's just a bunch of coaches trying to figure out who's paying what so they could see what they got to do. And, you know, it is a big talk, but there's no exact numbers people can throw out because they're just trying to find a number. And then you got all the collectives and da-da-da-da. Like, coaches don't even know. So it's a big deal, but I would say it's more towards the ending process. On most of them. Now, there's some schools that just straight up tell you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoa, you know? And for me, because money wasn't a thing for me. And it's hard for people to think that because they're like, oh, you committed so fast. I've been without this whole time. I've played basketball. And that's fine with me. Like I told you, I go back home, I sleep on a couch. And I'm grateful for that couch because I'm with my family. And at the end of the day, now, I've had times where I've had to eat a quiche for like 3 or 4 days straight. And the only thing that made it different was we put chunks of ham in it the next day. And it was different. You know what I'm saying? That was the only difference. And there's been times like that. And a 4 for $4 from Wendy's was like me eating a Wagyu steak or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was that for me. And people don't see that side of me. And, you know, they get it twisted a lot of times. And I think that's, you know, that's sad to see. But, you know, like, I've embraced it. So as far as NIL, it's a big conversation, especially now, because a lot of people just really don't understand where it's at. Mm-hmm. Nobody does.
Yeah, no, nobody knows anything about it, but everybody wants to be an expert on it for sure. Spending a few more minutes here with Jacob Cruz, who officially signed with Missouri last week. And Jacob, I got to ask, man, Missouri, obviously last season tough, didn't go the way I know anybody wanted it to. So I have always said, I've covered recruiting for 21 years. You're pitching one of two things if you're a coach. You either say, hey, we're on top and you're going to come help us stay there, or we're not on top, but with you, we're going to get there. So I'm curious, coming off the season Missouri had, what was Dennis Gates and his staff? What was their pitch to you?
So opportunity was huge because that's what I told them. So they asked me and I told them opportunity. I said, that's everything we have to give that's main for you is opportunity. You have an opportunity to come in here and be a part of a changing program again. They came in their first year, killed it, sent people to the NBA, my dream. So to me, I don't look at the record. You know, just share this. not to get off topic, but like Daytona State, horrible record when I committed. Won 10 games. Most of them were against prep schools. Mm-hmm. When I got there, during their conference. They got shredded. And I had to sit there and watch it. Mm-hmm. And I sat there. I could have been like, oh, man, this was a bad mistake. I went down every one of them coaches. As we were going through, I said, it won't happen next year. We won the championship. They all looked at me and said, you were right. Went to UT Martin. When I committed to UT Martin, they won 8 games. Didn't start their season yet before they won their 19 games or 18 games they won that year I was committed. They didn't start it yet. I already committed to it. The guy was there for 1 year, and I already had trusted in him that he was going to do right. So I was there the whole year they won. So I was already committed and ready. So for me, record means nothing. It means nothing. You could flip the switch just like that. They came in, won 25 games, I think it was, sent 2 guys to the NBA, maybe more. You don't do that by coincidence. Mm-hmm. They are special staff, and they got special players. It didn't mix well. They had injuries. They were the most unlucky team in the country. I understand that because I'm a player. And who wouldn't want to be a part of the story of the uprising of Missouri and watch all these people eat it that hate on them? You'd be crazy not to be. And the coaches are amazing. If you sit there and you talk to Dennis Gates and Coach Klein and the rest of the staff, Coach CY and all them, you would see for yourself, man, people got it twisted. They love hoops. They love you as people. They love their fans. They love Missouri. It's unbelievable.
So just a couple more. You've told us a little bit about your story. You grew up in Florida, and obviously it's been a long time to get here. Has it kind of hit you now, hey, I'm about to play SEC basketball, and if things go right, I am a year away from this thing I've dreamed about, you know, for my entire life?
Man, I got chills thinking about it because I'm so ready and so hungry for it because, like I said, I've never backed down from anything that's a big moment ever, you know. And people always say, oh, man, he hasn't done against that type of talent. Man, like, I hate hearing that, like, because now you're down playing what OVC basketball was. First off, they had multiple players who were high major on one team, and I had to play against them. I had my career high on a team full of high major guys who went to the mid-major level to have bigger opportunities. So, and they were playing at the high majors. Then I went to NC State in their gym that holds 21,000 people, and it was packed. And I went in there, I gave them 20. And I had the coach talk about, man, he looked like he was trying out for the Lakers, wasn't he? Coach Keith. And look where they're at. They're ACC champions, and they're in the Final Four. So tell me I'm not ready? It's crazy because at the end of the day, Mizzou, I trust them. I'll be ready. There's no doubt in my mind SEC is where I belong. And I know I'm going to thrive there because I have the right people around me and I have the right mentality. And I'm not underestimating it at all, but I'm not also going to underestimate myself. And I'm not going to sit there and back down from it. It's SEC basketball. I love it.
We're 23 years into this. I have not asked you one question about actual basketball. So I'm going to make the last one about basketball for Missouri fans that are going to see you starting, you know, next October, November. Tell me about your game. I mean, what kind of player are you? What do you think separates you from other guys?
Ain't a shot I don't like. They're not a shot I don't like, and it ain't a shot I won't take. And something, you know, other than that, because a lot of people say, oh, what can he do this? Can he do that? I have a motor. And one thing about my motor, it's not limited. It goes for any team, anybody. And being as versatile as me, like, I love this game so much. I don't underestimate any team, but I go in there with every intention to kill every play and go as hard as possible. People always see the shots. You know, they see a 6'8 guy. They don't see the athleticism on the plays and stuff. But I can promise you, I'm going to rebound with the best of them. I'm going to play as hard as the best of them. You're going to get every piece of me, and they'll notice it, and they'll see it, just like people here at Martin embraced it, and they loved it. Every time I finished the game, everybody was like, I just love how hard you play. And at the end of the day, I know with me playing as hard as I do, buckets are going to come, rebounds are going to come, all those winning plays is going to come, because that's at the end of the day, that's what I want to be, and that's what my goal for myself to do at Mizzou is win. And we can definitely do it. All of us. We can definitely do it.
Well, Jacob, really appreciate your time in and sharing some of your story. Best of luck the last few weeks here at Martin, and hope you find a way to go stock up on some diapers and get some sleep over the summer, because you won't be getting much after that.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. It was awesome. It was a great experience, and best to you.
All right, thanks. That is Jacob Cruz, most recent addition to Mizzou basketball. Appreciate him joining us here on State of the Tigers. Want to give you guys a little insight into his story. So if you like, comment, subscribe, and get in touch with our friend James Carlton at State Farm Insurance. Once again, carltoninsurance.net. The phone number is 314-961-4800. You reach out to James. He's going to talk to you a little bit about NIL, a little bit about Mizzou basketball, football, and a whole lot about insurance. So again, thanks to Jacob. Thanks to all you guys for joining us. And we will talk to you next time.